All right, we'll say good morning. Let's begin. So today's daf is daf lamed in Maseches Tanis. We left off yesterday. Let's actually pick up. Amar l'Chashmua. We read this, but let's pick it up. So 2, 4, 6, 8, 9 lines up from the bottom. On Chav Tes Amud Beis. So Amar l'Chashmua, Shmuel would say to you, remember Gemara say, the topic we were discussing yesterday was the topic of really, do the restrictions of Tisha B'Av apply after Tisha B'Av or just up until Tisha B'Av? And we led into that discussion by discussion about laundering. The topic of laundering clothing, let's say before Tisha B'Av, for even use after Tisha B'Av. So the Gemara says, Amar l'Chashmua, Shmuel would say to you, Tanoim, in reality, this entire discussion is a machlokis tanoim. This sign, because we learned, Tisha B'Av shechalios b'Shabbos, if Tisha B'Av fell out on Shabbos, v'chein Erev Tisha B'Av shechalios b'Shabbos, and Erev Tisha B'Av that falls out on Shabbos, ochel v'shosa kol tzarko. A person could eat and drink all they want, Uma'ala al shulchan afilu kisuda shloma b'shaito, and they could eat an entire meal just like a suda shloma hamelech, like a Solomonic feast. However, now I will say again, so that's all interesting. We spoke about this yesterday, that whereas normally, again, on Erev Tisha B'Av, you are limited in your consumption for your suda mafsekes, if it falls out on Shabbos, there is no limitation. But also the saper ulachabis merosh chodesh vadatanis. However, you are not permitted to go ahead and take a haircut and to launder clothing from Rosh Chodesh until Tisha B'Av. Div Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Meir holds the restrictions apply from the 9 days. Rabbi Huda says, Kol ha-chodesh kulo asr. Rabbi Huda says, no, the entire month of Av is asr. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, no, eino asr elo osa Shabbos bilvad. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, it's not the whole month, it's not even the 9 days, but rather it's what we call Shavua Shechalbo. The week in which Tisha B'Av falls out, that's where the restrictions apply. V'tanya idach, you know, we have another braisa that says, V'noeg evel mirosh chodesh v'adatanis divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says that we go ahead and we observe mourning practices from Rosh Chodesh Av until Tisha B'Av, 9 days. Rabbi Huda says, Kol chodesh kulo. Also, Rabbi Huda says, no, we observe Avelos over the entirety of the month of Av. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, Eino aser elo osa Shabbos bilvad. No, we only go ahead and observe the morning practices on Shavu Shechabo, the week of Tisha B'Av itself. Amar Rabbi Yochanan said, Ushlashtan Mikra Echad Darshu. Interestingly enough, these three opinions, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, all darshened the same pasuk. What's the pasuk? Tichsev. Now the Gemara is quoting over here from the pasuk from Hosea. Vehishbati kol mesosa. I will go ahead and I will literally put an end to all of its joy or to all of her joy. Chago, Chodsha, v'Shabbata. It's Chag, it's Yom Tov. Chodsha, it's month. Shabbata, it's Shabbos. V'chol Mo'adah, and all its appointed times. So the Gemara says, Man dam Rosh Chodesh Adatanis. So the opinion that holds that the morning restrictions apply from Rosh Chodesh until the fast day, Rabbi Meir. So what does he say? He dashes top of Lamed, Mechaga. He learns this out because the pasuk says what? That I will go ahead and I will stop chaga. I will say chaga. Rashi says kilomar yolif taima min chaga. Dahinu Rosh Chodesh shenikra chag. Rosh Chodesh is called the chag. Rosh Chodesh is called the yom tov. Kida amina leel kara alai moed. So the chaga, Rabbi Meir understands in this pasuk, refers to Rosh Chodesh. And if Rabbi Meir says, I will go and I'll turn your chag. I will quiet the joy of your chag, means that the morning restrictions begin from Rosh Chodesh Av. Uman Damar Kala Chodesh Kulo, the one who says that no, the Avelos supplies the entire month, he says, Aser Mechadsha. He learns this stuff from the fact that the Pasuk says, Chodesh month. Uman Damar Kala Shabbos Kula Aser. And the opinion who holds that no, it's only Shavu Shechalbo, the week in which Tisha B'Av falls out, that is Aser. He learns that out from the word Shabbata. Shabso, right? Ultimately, again, remember, Shabbosa means it's week. So we'll say, again, each of these opinions of Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Huda, and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel are all learning it out from the same exact pasuk. Amar Rava. Rava says, Halacha k'Rav Shimon Gamliel. So we'll say, Rava says that Halacha k'Rav Shimon Gamliel. Remember what Rabbi Shimon Gamliel said? Rabbi Shimon Gamliel said that, again, it's only Shavu Shechalbo. That the Isurim, the probe, I should say, the morning practices prior to Tisha B'Av only apply the week in which Tisha B'Av falls out. I'm sorry, Halacha Rabbi Shimon, Va'amar Rava, Halacha Shabbi Meir. So I'll say, interestingly enough, Rava is on record as saying two things. Number one, the halacha follows Rav Shimon Gamliel, that the morning restrictions apply in the week of Tisha B'Av. And Rava is on record as saying that the halacha follows Rabbi Meir, who holds that what? That the restrictions apply from Rosh Chodesh until Tisha B'Av. So which one is it? The Gemara says it's both of them. V'tarvayhu l'kula. And Rabbi Meir is quoting both of them. Why? Because each of them individually have a stringency, but collectively yield the leniency. How so? Utsricha. Utsricha. What does this mean? I need both of these statements. Because if Rava would have just said the halacha follows Rabbi Meir, then I would have said what? I would have said, Hava Amina, Afilu Merosh Chodesh. I might have said that the restrictions apply even from Rosh Chodesh, because after all, that is what Rabbi Meir says. Therefore, Kamash Malan, Halacha Karab Shemeng Amliel. Therefore, again, Rabbi Meir, Rava says, the Halacha Fasav Shemeng Amliel. What does Shemeng Amliel say? Just the Shvo Shechaba. So we'll say it doesn't make much sense, because again, so if it follows Rav Shimon Gamliel, that Shavuot Shechabos is only the week of, so why did he say the halach of Rabbi Meir from Rosh Chodesh? I'll tell you. Because the Ash Mo'inar halach of Rav Shimon Gamliel, if you would have just said the halach of Rav Shimon Gamliel, Hava Amina, I would have said, Afilu La'acharav. I might have thought that what? That Lemaisa, it would apply even afterwards. Because remember, when you say that the restrictions apply the week of Tisha B'Av, so Rabbi Shimon Gamliel seems to actually hold this what? Literally the entire week. So for example, if Tisha B'Av falls out on Tuesday, the restrictions will apply Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, even the days after Tisha B'Av. Therefore, again, Kamash Malan, Halacha Karbi Meir. So we'll say, what Rava does is something very interesting. He mixes and matches a little bit. On one hand, he holds that Lemaisa, the beginning of the morning practices, is in accordance with Rav Shimon Gamliel, who says that when do they begin? The week of Tisha B'Av. On the other hand, he said that the halacha follows Rabbi Meir, who holds that when do the morning practices end, right? At Tisha B'Av itself. So what he does is, he essentially takes the start date of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and the end date of Rabbi Meir and says that indeed is the halacha. That lemaisa, again, the prohibitions only apply to Shulchan Aruch. So we'll say, interestingly enough, you should know that as far as the Gemara is concerned, the restrictions of Tisha B'Av, which means, again, the restrictions of haircutting, the restrictions of shaving, the restrictions of laundering, of meat and wine, only apply on the week of Tisha B'Av itself. That is, in the original form of halacha, that's how it happens. Now, over the years, clearly that practice has changed, at least for Ashkenazim, right? That again, for Ashkenazim, again, so the truth is, remember, we back up the practices of haircutting, meat, wine already through Rosh Chodesh Av, and the truth is we even do it a little bit more. Over the years, additional practices developed that backed up some of these things already to Shivasar B'Tamos, to the 3 weeks. But if you'll notice again, in the Gemara, there is no discussion about any prohibitions beginning on Shivasar B'Tamos. That was not heard of in Talmudic times. Maybe tomorrow we'll have a little bit more time. We have a short daf, but we'll figure it out. But we'll talk about it maybe. But the idea is just fascinating. Just see the evolution of halacha from a halachic perspective. Shvuah Shechalbo is the real time for restrictions. Really, before that, there's not much to talk about.
You would think from Rosh Chodesh, but really not.
Correct. That's why he says that halacha follows Rav Shimon Gamliel. Correct. So Amar Rav Yehuda. So Erev Tisha B'Av lo yochal adam beis tavshilin. So we'll say again, Erev Tisha B'Av, a person should not eat two cooked foods. Remember again, this needs to be talking, well, we'll see actually what it's referring to, but right now the Mishnah just makes a blanket statement that on Erev Tisha B'Av you should limit your consumption of higher end foods, and a person should not eat two cooked foods. Amar Rav Yehuda. Lo shanu ela mishesh sha'u sulamala. So Rav Yehuda says, when is this true? This is only true from 6 hours of the day and on, meaning from chatzos, from midday and on. Aval mishesh sha'u sulamata mutter. But Rav says again, from earlier, before midday, lemais, again, there are no restrictions on what you could eat. Ver, Amar Rav Yehuda, lo shanu ela besuda mafsekes. Furthermore, Rav Yehuda says, that when does this restriction on two cooked foods apply? only by your suda mafsekes, the last meal you're going to eat before the fast. Aval b'suda she'ena mafsikba, but Rabbi say if you're having a meal earlier in the day that is not your last meal before the fast, then mutter, then you are permitted to go ahead and eat whatever you want. And the Gemara says v'tarvayu l'kula utzvicha. Both of these statements together yield a leniency, and they're both necessary. Why? Because if Rabbi Yehuda would have just said that you can't eat two cooked foods at your suda mafsekes, I would have thought hava amina afilu mishesh shaos ulamato. I would have thought this is true even if what? Even if you're eating your suda mafsekes earlier in the day. Kamashmala no mishesh shaos ulamala kamashmala. Therefore, the next statement says no. It's only called suda mafsekes if what? If you're eating it after midday. If you're eating it before midday, then lemaisa, again, that doesn't have the status of suda mafsekes, and therefore you could eat two cooked foods. V'yashmoinu mishesh shaos ulemalo, and if it would have just said that you can't go ahead and eat two cooked foods, mishesh shaos, 6 hours and on, havamina filo b'suda sheinu mafsekba, I might have thought this is true even with the suda that what? That is not your suda mafsekes, kamashmolon b'suda hamafsekba. Therefore, again, the next statement says that this prohibition of eating two cooked foods only applies to your suda mafsekes. Tanya Kalish Nakama. So I will say what comes out over here is that the Rav Yehuda is really saying is that Lamaisa, the prohibition to eat two cooked food items only applies when you need two criteria. Number one, it has to be past chatzos, past midday. And number two, it has to be in the su'udah that is your su'udah hamafsekes. So the Gemara says, Tanya Kiblishna Kama, Tanya Kiblishna Basra. We have two different brisos. One supports the earlier statement, and one supports the latter statement. Tanya Kiblishna Basra, the brisa that supports the latter statement, has soid Erev Tisha B'Av. If someone's eating a meal on Erev Tisha B'Av, im asid lisol suda acheres mutar le'echol basra v'lishto sanah. So we'll say this is really wild. So remember, so now according to this opinion, which obviously doesn't stem with what we said before, but again, you're even permitted to, again, in your suda, if you're eating a suda earlier in the day on Erev Tisha B'Av, but it's not your suda's hamafsekes, it's not your last meal, you could even eat meat and drink wine. Ve'im lav, aser, but if you're not going to eat another meal, which de facto means what? This is your suda mafsekes, then lemaisa, you may not eat meat and drink wine. So we'll say, according to this ve'im lav, aser le'achol basra v'lishto sanah. So we'll say, according to this brisa, timing is not the issue. It doesn't really matter when you're eating this meal. What matters, is this your last meal or not? If this is the Last Supper, okay, you know, again, with hopefully better results than the historical Last Supper, right? If this is Lemaisa, again, your Last Supper, then again, at the end of the day, that's your Suda Mafsekes, which means you can't eat meat, drink wine. If it's not your Last Supper, you're going to eat something later on, then Lemaisa, you are permitted to eat meat and drink wine. So again, if you notice, this price is not concerned before 6 hours, after 6 hours. This price just simply asks, is this your Suda Mafsekes or not? Which seems to support the latter Lashon. Tanya Kalish Nakama, we have a brisa that supports the earlier Lashon. Erev Tisha B'Av, on Erev Tisha B'Av, lo yochal adam shnei tavshilin, a person should not eat two cooked food items. Lo yochal basav lo yishte yayin, and a person should not go ahead and eat meat and drink wine. Reb Shimon Gamliel says, Yishane, a person should just go ahead and change. Should make a shinui. Should do something different than they normally do. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Ketzad Mishane. How? What's an example of a shinui? So this is very interesting. What's an example of a shinui? Em hayo ragia le'echol shnei tavshilin. Yocham min echad. So I'll say, example of a shinui is if you normally would eat two types of cooked items at your meal, and now for the suda mafsekes you would only eat one. And if you would normally go ahead and eat, let's say you normally dine with 10 other people, so go ahead and only eat with five. Here's an interesting one. Let's say you normally drank 10 cups of wine. You should change that practice and only drink five. You should probably change that practice for a variety of other reasons as well. But at least over here, you should go ahead and change it because of the avelos. You know, kick it down to five per meal. When is this true? Meaning also, when is what true? When is it true that you should make some type of shinui, that you should change the normal way in which you eat your meal? That's only mishesh shaos ulamalo. That's only when? when this is a meal that is taking place on Rabbosai after Chatzos, after midday, but if you are having this meal before 6 hours into the day, mutter, then lemaisa, you could do whatever you want. So Rabbosai, this supports the earlier Lashon, because remember, again, the first Lashon of Rabbi Yehuda was totally focused on timing. A meal before Chatzos, before midday, is not Suda Mafsek. It doesn't matter what your intentions to eat later and not eat later, it's irrelevant. The point is, before Suda, that's not Suda Mafsek. It's therefore, again, you don't have to limit or change anything. It's after midday that you have to be Choshesh, that maybe, again, this is Suda Mafsek. So I'll say, the point over here is that you even remember, at the end of the day, Rav Yehuda was not putting forward two disparate statements. He was putting forward two sides of the same coin. That the meal in which you have to have a shinui, or the meal in which you cannot eat meat or drink wine, the meal in which you should only have one tafshil instead of two tafshilin, is a meal that satisfies two criteria. Number one, it's after Chatzos. Number two, it is the last meal of your day. That's called the Sunnah of Sekis. Again, the point that Gemara is just making is there are brisos that happen to support each of those stances individually. But Rabbi Yehuda was not bringing them as individual statements. He was bringing them as two individual statements that combine to form one comprehensive shita. So the Gemara goes weiter. Tanya Yidduch, another briso. Erev Tisha B'Av. On Erev Tisha B'Av, lo yochal adam shnei tafshilin. A person should not eat two cooked foods. Lo yochal basar v'lo yishte yayin. And a person should not go out and eat meat and drink wine. Divrei Meir, these words of Meir. V'chacham the chachamim say, yishane umemait bebasar ubeyayin. So again, whereas Rabbi Meir says that you can't eat meat and drink wine at all, the Chachamim say, no, you don't have to stop in totality. Rather, just change. You should change, and you should limit your consumption of meat and wine. Kate said, "Mimait." What does it mean to go ahead and limit your consumption? Im hayaragil le'achol litra basar. If you normally eat a litra of meat, so a litra is a measure. If you normally have, you know, a big steak, yochal chatzi litra. Oh, only have a half of that amount. If you are drinking a lug, which is a lot, a lug of wine, yishte chatzi lug yayin. You should only drink a half a lug of wine. Vim eino rogil kol ikar. Let's say a person never really eats meat or never really drinks wine. In that case, again, aser, then don't start on Erev Tisha B'Av. Right? The idea is don't introduce these practices if they're not part of your normal consumption practices. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, very interesting halacha. Im hayo rogil le'echol tsinon omal. If a person normally eats a tznon, we'll say tznon is a radish, and maliach means some type of salted fish. So if a person normally goes ahead and eats tznon or maliach after his meal, we'll say this is like a type of I don't want to say dessert is probably the wrong word, but something that cleanses the palate a little bit. It's a salty item that I guess if this is what people eat at the end of their meal. I'm sorry? Didn't have chocolate yet, right? So, harushus biyado. So, ultimately, again, he is permitted to do so. Tanya idach, another braisa. Koshu mishum tisha b'av. Koshu mishum tisha b'av. Now, this is a very interesting idea also. Anything that is mishum tisha b'av. Look at Rashi. Koshu mishum tisha b'av. First of all, look at Rashi maliach. He says, dag obasra maliach, de'in botam kokach. So this was a piece of fish or a piece of meat. It almost sounds like jerky, right? That was in salt for a couple of days. It doesn't have such a taste. Achar shesh loshim b'melachi l'kaman kishlam and elsir. Fine, tfei lo ashkichan demikri basar. So the idea is you're permitted. So what the Gemara is pointing out of Yerbosai is that lemaisa. Let's say again, you weren't eating meat or you were eating less meat in that suda mafsekes, but you normally have a piece of jerky. After dinner, you know, after dinner jerky, right? It's very classy, right? So you go ahead and have some after dinner jerky. So Gemara says you could do that. Why? Because the truth is that doesn't really have the status of meat itself. So therefore, you're permitted. No, don't get excited. No. That is not halacha lemaisa. It does have the status of meat. We'll see. Jeez, I don't even get to finish a sentence. So. We're going to get back to this discussion because Gemara is actually going to spend a little bit of time with this. But the idea is that they would normally this jerky would not be governed by the restrictions on meat that we're having by the rest of this su'uda. So then Rashi says, "Kol shum mishum tes bav kigon suda mafsek bav." So I'll say any suuda that is related to Tisha B'Av, specifically suda mafsekes. What is the halacha? Asr le'echal basar. You can't eat meat during that suda. Va'asr lishtos yayin. You can't drink wine. Va'asr lirchotz. And at that point in time, Rabbi Osai, once already you're eating suda mafsekes, you may not wash yourself. Rechitza becomes asr. Rechitza becomes aser. However, again, kol sheni b'shum tesbav, but any meal that is consumed on Erev Tisha B'Av, but is not your suda mafsekes, mutar le'echal basar, you could eat meat, v'lishtasa, and drink wine, v'aser lirchos, but you still can't wash on Erev Tisha B'Av. So again, what the Gemara is saying over here is, once Erev Tisha B'Av comes, you can no longer wash, but again, the only suda where there's a restriction on meat and wine is your suda mafsekes. Any other suda, you are permitted to eat meat and drink wine. Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, or Mishum Avi, Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Shmuel, but Rabbi Yossi says the name of his father. As long as you can eat meat, you're permitted to wash. Ten rabbanim, meaning I will say meaning bathe. Bathe is the better word. Ten rabbanim. Kol mitzvos hanoagos ba'avel, noagos betes ba'av. Any mitzvah, any of the obligations of avelos apply on Tisha B'Av. Aser ba'achila, you're not allowed to eat. Aser ba'achila b'shnei. I will say obviously. That doesn't apply during Avelos. What the Gemara first is saying, statement A, is all of the practices that apply by Shiva apply by Tisha B'Av. Right? So again, I will say, just so you understand, this is an interesting discussion in general. Soloveitchik writes extensively about this, that if you'll notice that the restrictions of the 3 weeks, 9 days, and Tisha B'Av are like the reverse of the cycle of Avelos. So the Rav points out, like, for example, in many respects, so the restrictions of the 3 weeks, let's say, on Torah Rosh Chodesh Av, are like the Yud Beis Chodesh, or like the 12 months of mourning for a parent. When you get to Rosh Chodesh Av, it becomes like Shloshim, and when you get to Tisha B'Av itself, it's Shiva. It's the reverse cycle. We normally go, person Rachmana Litzlan goes from Shiva, Shloshim, Yud Beis Chodesh, 12 months. It's just the opposite by national mourning. We go again from Yud Beis Chodesh, Shloshim, ultimately to Shiva. Therefore, again, says the Gemara, that all of the halachos that apply by Tisha B'Av ultimately, again, all the halachos that apply by Avelos apply by Tisha B'Av. And in addition to that, Aser ba'achilu b'shtiyah, you also can't eat and drink on Tisha B'Av. U'besicha, Rabbi say, you can't put on any kind of ointments or lotions. Doesn't apply to deodorant. You could put on deodorant, again, anything that's there, either to help a person from smelling bad or ultimately, again, to mask odor. All of that is fine. It means more of like a cosmetic nature. So a person can't apply additional lotions or ointments. Ni'ilas ha-sandal, person can't wear shoes. Rabbi say, interesting discussions halachically today. You know, today a person can get exceptionally comfortable shoes without going even of man-made materials. So it's important to understand that to a certain degree, the din is not just about the avoidance of leather. The idea is a little bit about inui, like a little bit about affliction. So again, it doesn't mean you have to walk around with newspapers wrapped around your feet, but it should be something that by definition contributes a little bit to it is a little bit uncomfortable. Again, not that you can't walk in it, but something that shows that I'm not in a regular state here. Things are not regular. Things are not normal.
Not bring the umbrella with the beach chair.
I'm sorry. Leave the umbrella along with the beach chair as well. Correct. Ubatash mishamita, marital relations. But also, likros tor. I was saying this is a different discussion. That, you know, we live in a society that is all about comfort. It's all about comfort. So the notion of being uncomfortable, it does even on the day that commemorates 2,500 years of tragedy. I really need to be comfortable. so you know, it's just interesting to see. It's hard for us, right? What you say, you know, even when people sit on the floor, the truth is people look like they're like at the beach, you know? You know, they're relaxing. The only thing they're missing is the ottoman, you know, just to put your feet, you know? So you have to understand, like, the whole idea is to mourn. The whole idea is to mourn, which means you're supposed to be uncomfortable. That is the chab. If your back hurts and your legs become stiff and your feet feel a little bit uncomfortable, that is the idea. That is the that is the goal of the day, to feel a little bit of discomfort, to actually feel a little bit of the tzar of Klal Yisrael. If you go through Tisha B'Av and you say, wow, actually, you know, I should do this every single week because, you know, this is a great chair. It's better than the blue chairs we have. And, you know, you've missed the boat a little bit, right? You say, you know what? Wow, these shoes are great. I should wear these more often, not just in Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av. That's a flawed mourning practice. So a person has to escape a little bit from this mindset of constant comfort and realize that the yisod of Tisha B'Av is inuit. He goes on. So Tashmi Shamita marital relations, va'asa likros b'Torah, a person that is not supposed to learn b'Torah b'Navim k'suvim. But say a person is not supposed to learn Torah Navim and K'suvim, Vilishnos, Vimishnah, Betalmud, Ubamedrish, Balachos, Bagados. Person is not supposed to learn literally Mishnah, Gemara, Medrish, Halacha, Agoda, Avalkori, Ubamakum, Shinaragi, Lakros. But a person could read, this is actually very interesting, a person could learn those things that he doesn't normally learn. I will say, what's the chap of that? Look at Rashi, Bemakum, Shinaragi, Lakros, the Chivan de lo Yoda is late Sarah. Very interesting. Why? Because when you learn something, Rabbi say, and you can't comprehend it, it gives me tzar, right? It's difficult. It's hard. It's sad. A person feels humbled, you know, especially as we get older. And I realize that, you know, there's so much I don't know. So I learned something and I can't chap it. It gives me tzar. So the Gemara says, you could do that on Tisha B'Av. I mean, we don't paskin that way. We happen to say that all Talmud Torah is usher, except for things that are related, again, either to the fast itself or to Eicha, things like that, to Tehillim. You can learn Mishnayos that you don't normally learn. You could read Kinos, Sefer Eov, and about negative things in the Sefer Yirmiyah. We cancel school that day. We cancel school. So Mefurish Raya, by the way, the school year should absolutely go through the entire year. Absolutely through the entire year. Right? So the idea is we cancel school. We cancel school. We cancel the yeshivas on Tisha B'Av. Why? Mishum Shene'emar Pekude Hashem Yisharim Misam Chilev. Literally, the statutes of God are upright. They gladden the heart. The idea is that Torah goes ahead and gladdens not just the adult heart, but even gladdens the child's heart even more. And therefore, again, as a form of national mourning, we close these shows, which is also very important because we know the Gemara says, Eino Ola Miskayim Ella Beheva Pien Sheltinokos Beis Rabban. The world only exists because of the pure Torah learning of the children. So the notion of closing the Chadarim, closing the yeshivos, ultimately, again, is a very dramatic statement about the profound sadness of this day that we don't even have the young children learn Torah. Rabbi Huda says, Af Eino Kar Makom Shein Aragi Likros Ve'Eino Shurim Makom Shein Aragi Lishnos. Rabbi Huda disagrees also with the aforementioned statement. We just said before that you're permitted to learn things that you don't really understand because, again, it will cause tzar. Rabbi Huda says, no, we don't learn Torah. We don't learn any kind of Torah on Tisha B'Av. Unless, of course, Avakori ubi Iov ubi Kinos ubi Dvar Maharam Shabiyemiyo. Rabbi Huda, this is the only thing we learn on Tisha B'Av is what? Is Lamaisa, things that are related to the destruction. Either Sefer or loss in general. Sefer Iov, Kinos, the negative events or the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash that we see in Yirmiyah, and of course Tehillim, v'tinoko shaveis rabban b'tehillim bo, and we close the yeshivas, the children don't learn Torah either, shenei emar, as the pasuk says, pekudei Hashem yishar misam chilev, literally the statutes of God are yashar, are upright, they gladden the heart. Lo yocha basar v'lo yishte yayin, a person should not eat meat, should not drink wine, tunnel, ava ochel hu basar maliach, so, but you can what? You can eat salted meat, which again sounds like this jerky. You could eat salted meat, because again, to a certain degree, it doesn't have the status of meat anymore. And you could drink wine, yain migito. We'll say yain migito means wine from the wine press. Wine, if you were to take wine from the wine press, so ultimately, again, first of all, it's more like grape juice. It hasn't fully fermented yet. Therefore, lemaise, again, it's an inferior drink. So because it's an inferior drink, it doesn't really have the status of wine yet. And therefore, you're permitted to drink it. Basar maliach ad kama. So we'll say, again, when does an item become basar maliach? Amar Rav Chinina bar Kahana Mishmei de Shmuel, kolzman kishlamim. See, kolzman shehu kishlam. Thank you. As long as it's like a shlam. Now, say, what does that mean? So Rashi points out over here, kolzman ad kama havi baser gomer dela havi baser aliyach. How long does meat retain its original identity as meat and is not considered to be like jerky? Kolzman shehu kishlamim. As long as it's like shlamim. What does that mean? Shaloshaha b'melcho elishne yamim v'layla echad. I will say again, the shlamim was, you were permitted to eat the shlamim for 2 days and one night. So meaning, as long as it's like a shlamim, meaning if it has not been in its salt for 3 days, then it still has the status of meat. Once it's been sitting in salt for 3 days, then it no longer has the status of meat, but rather has the status of this jerky. Once it has the status of jerky, then lemaisa, again, you are permitted to go ahead and eat it, even on Erev Tisha B'Av. Amar v'yayin migitad kama, and how long is wine considered to be from the press? So kolzman shehu toses. We'll say as long as it is still in the process of fermenting. If the fermenting process is not yet complete, that is called yayin migito. That is called wine from the wine press, and you are permitted to eat, to drink that even on Erev Tisha B'Av. So we'll say again. So even though there's a restriction of meat and wine on Erev Tisha B'Av, again, machlokis as to when that restriction kicks in. Is that restriction the whole day, or is that restriction just simply in Sudam Afsek? I guess either way, the mice, it only applies to real meat, which is meat that has been salted for less than 3 days, and real wine, which is wine that has already passed the fermentation process. But if you have meat that has been salted for more than 3 days, it loses its identity as meat, can be consumed, or wine that is not yet fully fermented also can be drunk as well. Tana, yayin toses, embo mishum gilui, another interesting halacha, that wine that is still in the process of fermenting is not subject to the prohibition of gilui. Gilui means, we will say, that, again, remember the halacha is that if you leave liquids, well, halacha was, that if you leave liquids uncovered, you are not permitted to go ahead and drink it the next day. Why not? There was a sphere of snake venom, that a snake would come to it and insert venom into it, and therefore the mice says actually sakana. So the Gemara says again, unfermented wine doesn't have, there's no chashash of gilui. Look at Rashi, says, emo mishum gilui, she'en hanacha shoseyu. Because a snake doesn't come near that stuff. Ki yivrach merisichaso. The snake is turned off. Risichaso literally means the boiling. What it means is the snake is turned off by the fermenting process that is occurring in there, and therefore again, a snake is not coming anywhere near that. So the Gemara says the following, Vikama tisisa. So how long does it take for the wine to ferment? Gimel yamim, 3 days. Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. We'll say, this is amazing. Rav Yehuda said the name of Rav. Ka, bless you. Kach hayom in hagel shabi Yehuda Rabbi Eloi. So this was the practice of Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Eloi. What was his practice? Erev Tisha B'Av, mevien lo pas chareva b'melach. So we'll say again, what would happen? Erev Tisha B'Av, this is Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eloi's, this was his Suda Hamafsekes. This was the Suda Mafsekes. They would bring him pat chareva. Pat chareva literally means coarse bread. Not fine flour bread. Coarse bread. B'melach. And he would be dipped in salt. The yoshev, he would sit. Bain. Hanro the kiraim. He would sit in between the oven and the stove. Also, remember again, in the times of the Gemara, they often had two different utensils. A stove, which you would cook on top, and an oven which you would cook within. So he would sit between the stove and the oven. Now, what's the chap with putting, sitting between the stove and the oven? Rashi says, Mako menuvel shel bebayis. It's the most disgusting place in the house. Why? Well, see, if you think about it, because that's where there's this accumulation of ash in the middle of it. So he would sit literally in the ash in between the stove and the oven. The ochel v'shose ale kiton shamayim. And he would eat the paschal, he would eat the coarse bread dipped in salt. And he would drink, again, from a kiton shamayim, just a simple flask of water. V'dome kemi shemeso muta lefanov. And he would sit there like someone who had just lost a loved one and whose dead was literally lying right in front of them. Meaning, Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eloi said, This is the Suda Mafsekes. This is ultimately, again, this is how we usher into Shav. And Rabbi said, you should just know that Lemaisa, this is what the Shulchan Aruch brings down in terms of Suda Mafsekes. That a person should go ahead and eat a regular meal. Right? Eat a regular meal. Again, we're limited in that meal in terms of what we eat. We try not to have two cooked foods at that meal. We have a simple, regular meal. Then I finish that meal. Then I have what's called the Suda Mafsekes. And the Suda Mafsekes is literally this. I take bread. I take water. I sit down on the ground and I eat that. That's my Suda Mafsekes. So I leave some room for that Suda. I eat my bread. I drink my water. I sit on the ground. And I bench. I don't bench b'mezumin, even if there are other people there. I bench by myself. And that is the Suda HaMafsekes of Erev Tisha B'Av. That is Halacha L'maisa, the Shulchan Aruch brings down. So the Gemara goes, Vayter, Tanan Hasam. We'll say another very important Halacha. Tanan Hasam. Makom shenahagu la'asos melacha b'tes b'av. If you live in a place where the minhag is to work on Tisha B'Av, osin, then l'maisa, again, a person works. Makom shenahagu shlo la'asos. But if you live in a place where the minhag is not to do melacha on Tisha B'Av, then what? Ain't no sin. Then Rabbi say you shouldn't work, so you should follow the minhag makom. Ubechom makom, but in every place, tamid chachamim betelim. A tamid chacham should not work on Tisha B'Av. Meaning, even if a tamid chacham has a day job, he should not work on Tisha B'Av. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says the olam yaase adam atzmo ki tamid chacham. A person should make himself like a tamid chacham. Tanya, meaning that what? That every person should make himself, it should not work on Tisha B'Av. Tanya Amyachar Braisa that supports this, Rabbi Shimon Amliel says, the olam ya'asa adam asmo kitam tchacham, a person should make himself like a tam tchacham and not work on Tisha B'Av, kideshi yis'ane, in order that a person feel the affliction of Tisha B'Av. In order that a person feel the affliction of Tisha B'Av. So the idea, I will say, that what's interesting about this is normally we would say that if I'm not a Talmud Chacham, I shouldn't act like a Talmud Chacham. Because it's what's called Mechzik here, looks arrogant. What Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is coming along and saying is this is one area where there's no arrogance in conducting yourself like a Talmud Chacham. Since you're not working in order to be able to more fully focus on the tsar, on the pain of what has been lost, that's not gaiva, that's not arrogance, but rather, again, Lemaisa. L'maisa, that is me trying to feel the churban, feel the destruction of the last 2,500 years. Tanya Yidach, another brisa that supports this. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, "Kala ochal v'shose b'tes be'av ki ilu ochal v'shose b'yom kippurim." We'll say a very dramatic statement that if you eat and drink on Tisha B'Av, that is as if what? That is as if you have eaten and drunk on Yom Kippur. Now I'll say obviously that is a very strong statement because first of all, Tisha B'Av is dirabanan. As important as it is, Yom Kippur is d'oraisa. Not only that, but if you eat and drink on Tisha B'Av, what is the halacha? What is the punishment? Kares. Kares. So what Rav Shimon Gamliel is saying over something so profound, that if you eat and drink on Tisha B'Av, again, literally, you're not subject to kares, but the idea is, if you can eat and drink on, we'll say, what is kares? Kares is spiritual excommunication. You have severed a relationship with God, you've severed a relationship with your people. If you can eat and drink on Tisha B'Av, essentially, what does that say? You are in a state of kares. It's not a function of punishment. If you could be so divorced from the realities of Tisha B'Av, if you could be so divorced from the horrific tragedies that we commemorate on this day, that you could just sit down and drink, obviously, this is barring medical issues. Person has a medical issue, they have to eat. Yeah, at the end of the day, you have to take care of yourself, but assuming there's no medical conditions, if you could do that, if you could eat and drink on this day, then lemaisa, again, you're already cut off. It's not a punishment. It's reflective of the state in which you're in. It's like eating on Tisha B'Av. It's like eating on Yom Kippur. Well, say it's also very important. Rabbi Kiva says, and this is halacha lemaisa, kala osem melacha b'tisha b'av, eina roe simin bracha li'olam. Well, say if a person works on Tisha B'Av, it's one thing is for sure, you will not see bracha from that work. Rashi says, ma'osa melacha. Not, it's not a general statement that you won't see bracha from your work, but in terms of that work, you will not see bracha. Well, say it's an important yisod in general. I would just say, if a person has the ability to take off work on Tisha B'Av, it's worth it. It's worth it. Because the truth is, everybody knows that obviously sometimes people don't have control over their schedules and they have to go to work. So you have to go. But I will say, if a person has autonomy, even if it means a vacation day and it's one less day at the Hamptons, Lemaisa, that is an important thing to do. Because everyone knows that when you go to work, you're not focused on the Chumino. There's one day out of the entire year that we focus on the millions of lives that have been lost throughout the ages and literally the horrific and barbaric sufferings of Klal Yisrael. It behooves us as members of the nation of Klal Yisrael, take the day off. Take the day off. Because you know that once you get to your office, it's business as usual. It's business as usual, right? You got to pay attention to your clients, to your work, to your whatever it is. So obviously, sometimes a person doesn't have a choice. A person doesn't have autonomy over certain things. Okay, then you do. But if you have autonomy, again, that's what Rabbi Akiva is saying. You're not going to see Simon Bracha from it. We'll say it's not a punishment. It's not a punishment. But you know, as Jews, we're global thinkers. If you think that you're going to get ahead by going ahead and leaving shul early and not staying for the end of the kinnis, or not just spending a day mourning for Klal Yisrael, if you think at the end of the day that's going to put you ahead in your gashmius, that's going to put you, you're wrong. You're wrong. If your work is coming at the expense of your connection to the Klal, you're not going to see, it's not a punishment. It's just a statement of fact. You're not going to see bracha from that. The greatest bracha in life is when you're part of the team, when you're part of the Klal, when you identify with the tzaras and the brachas of Klal Yisrael, that's when there's bracha. Let's go weiter just a little bit. So the Gemara says, V'chacham and Chum say, Kala ose melacha, B'tes b'av, all right, Chum take a little bit starker stance. They say, anyone who does melacha on Tisha B'av, Ve'eno mis'avel al Yerushalayim, and therefore does not properly mourn for Jerusalem, Eino ru'a b'simchasa, does not see the simcha of the rebuilding of Yerushalayim. Shena emar, Simchu es Yerushalayim, rejoice with Yerushalayim, V'gilu ba kol ohaveha, rejoice with her, all those who love her, sisu osa misos kalam isablim aleha. Literally, go ahead and rejoice, all of those who mourned with her. So we'll say, what do you see from here? You see the connection, or honor. You see the connection over here that those who mourned for her will what? Will be the ones who rejoice for her. Mikanamru, from here we say, kalam isabel al Yerushalayim, all those who mourn for Jerusalem, zochet v'ra b'simchasa. Those will be the ones ultimately, again, who will be privileged to see her simcha. V'sheino misabel al Yerushalayim, but those who do not mourn for Yerushalayim, eino ro'a b'simchasa. Ultimately, again, will not see her simcha. Tainam, you have your rice that supports this. Kala ochel basa v'shosem b'tes ba'av. Anyone who goes in and eats meat and drink wine on Tisha B'av, I love Akas of Omer, about them the Pasuk says, v'atihi avono sam al atzmo sam. Their sins will literally be in their bones. That Lameskin is supposed to say, you see that Chazal take a very strong stand against those who do not share in the collective mourning for Yerushalayim. And Rabbi, you know, we'll stop over here for today. Again, we have a short, tomorrow's only Ahmed Allah. But Rabbi, again, so let me be clear. Obviously, a person, just want to clarify that last statement that I made. Person can't go ahead and take off work. Sometimes circumstances are beyond our control. So, okay, you do your best. You maybe go in a little bit late, or maybe not. If not, you can only try your best. But Lamaisa, again, it's just important to understand that sometimes, you know, it's hard for us to feel the morning of Tisha B'Av. So sometimes what we just have to do is we have to apply ourselves just a little bit more. And if I say to myself, I'm taking this day just to connect with my people, so you never know the profound results that could yield. You can't do it, you shouldn't feel bad that you can't do it. If you can't do it, the Kadosh Baruch Hu, the most important thing that Kadosh Baruch Hu wants from us, Rachmana liba boy. Kadosh Baruch Hu wants from us is our hearts. If he knows what I want to do and he knows what I want to be, sometimes there are circumstances beyond my control, Kadosh Baruch Hu sees that as well. But if a person can, it's so important to connect with the tzaras of Klal Yisrael at least one day throughout the year. And halavai, and that's zuchus, we should be zoche mirat Hashem to be roa b'simchasa as well. All right, we'll stop over here. We'll pick up at the two dots tomorrow. Again, hopefully everyone saw Ari's email. We'll start, I don't know what time the shiur is tomorrow, but whatever, it's our regular schedule. There's a mistake, because in the bulletin, I only saw your announcement later, there is early mincha in the bulletin, but just please ignore that. Apparently there is no early mincha. Okay, so there's no early mincha tomorrow. There'll just be, again, the daf yomi, then the navi shiur, then, I'm sorry? 6:20 is the shir, okay. Then the navi shir, then Amir Tzashem mincha, then siyum by shalosh shudis, and Amir Tzashem again Sunday morning. We begin Maseches Megillah.